Let's talk about this movie that already has people divided right here.
Does it?
Yeah, it already got people upset. Yeah, divided. Yeah. Yeah, it's this movie where people talking about, man, where's Tony Stark fighting Abraham Lincoln? And, you know, where the Avengers at? Where's,
okay. where's
General Lee and all that stuff, you know? They got all factions of cosplayers out there, man. The Civil War reenactors and the Marvel people, man. Hey, ain't my Civil War, goddammit.
I thought about it. You dress up as Captain America and go to a Civil War reenactor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought it was a rerun. What the fuck is this?
Where's Tony at? Bitch ass.
I ain't signing shit.
That man's from the future. But yeah, man, we're talking about Civil War. That's the new A24 movie. And this is a movie where it's sort of slightly the future, maybe a few years in the future, less than 10. And I guess politics have gotten so crazy. The president's gotten so crazy. These people have gotten so divided in America that we have finally had that civil war that everybody was talking about. And this explores, we travel with a group of wartime photojournalists. You know, people just go out and take pictures of war. We follow them and get all the violence and the fighting and the combat from their point of view, while being on the familiar territory of America, you know, the streets that we recognize that at one time, you know, we took for granted it would always be peaceful and nice. Well, now that everything is war-torn, like some of the countries that we said that we would never be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yet here we are. Let's go ahead. A lot of people have been looking forward to this because, I mean, you know, let's just admit it. We are very much politically divided here and everybody's like, oh, shit. Civil War. I know that movie's going to be on my side. I know they're going to agree with me. You saw this with us.
Yeah. Right next to your ass.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You were there.
Yeah.
How political is this? Will this divide people even more? More importantly, simply, how is the movie? This is also beginning a lot of good buzz and reviews from people out there. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer. And I never even saw the trailer for this. This is my first time actually seeing it. Did well, very well at South by Southwest. How will it do here tonight? Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer and we'll be back with our reviews.
Of America. People of the Florida Alliance.
You gotta move!
And the Western forces of Texas and California. Will be welcomed back to these United States as soon as their illegal secessionist government is deposed.
You don't know what side they're fighting for.
Someone's trying to kill us. We are trying to kill them.
So, some people have been hearing about the premise of this movie, and they cannot fathom America going at war with each other so much to the point where this concept makes them think that this is science fiction. I've heard some people categorize it as science fiction. And in the movie, you have Texas having an alliance with California, so it might be science fiction.
That is science fiction.
That ain't even science fiction. That's fantasy.
Yeah.
Shit, we might as well be trying to find unicorns and going to Mordor with this shit. You know, that is not happening anytime soon. But that is the case here. One of the things with this movie, we're talking about how political is it? Well, it kind of is trying to be neutral with its politics. Yes, Texas has aligned with California. We don't know why. All we know is that the president has tried to force himself into a term that he probably did not deserve or tried to take over. And that tore the country up. And now people are trying to not only get America back to where it is. But hey, some people are saying, while we at it, let's go ahead and kill the president. He started all this shit. Yeah. You know, hey, if that's what has to happen, then let's, goddamn it, let's do it. So I'm going to start out by saying, we saw this in IMAX, one of those mini maxes, but we saw it in IMAX. And I think on a technical level, this movie is amazing. You know, every combat scene is well directed. And the big thing that pulled me in with this is the sound.
It's loud.
See it in the IMAX if you can. The only complaint that I have about that is almost too loud.
It scared the shit out of me.
Honestly, even at South by Southwest at the Paramount, that was a thing people were saying, like, it was too loud.
Yeah, shit. I felt like I was getting shot at half the time. I was in my seat at the time, stop! You know, but I'd kind of rather have it loud than too low, because I mean, that more than the visuals here, the sound pulls you in. The sound makes you think you are in the middle of combat. And where really, when you have everything that comes together, the visuals, where this really becomes an amazing war film, is in the third act, when they pull out an all-out attack on the White House. I'm not giving anything away. I'm not telling what happens with it, but you saw some of it in the trailer. They pretty much go in and they raid the White House. And that right there is up there with some of the greatest war action scenes that I've seen, man. I put it up there with Saving Private Ryan, you know, something of that nature.
As far as putting you right there in the middle of it.
Putting you in the middle of it and just the direction of it. I mean, this is Alex Garland, who wrote certain movies that you've seen directed by other people, such as 28 Days Later. I don't know what else he directed. I know he wrote 28 Days Later. Yeah, Men. Yeah, yeah. So he's working within dystopian or post-apocalyptic futures is nothing new to him. So he brings all of his directing talents and experiences with those kind of things to probably one of the most, I would say, probably the most grandiose scenes of action that I've seen him do. This I'm gonna show you a little bit of it right here. I'm just gonna tell you, regardless of what you think about the movie, you will leave it on an adrenaline rush after you watch this. I mean, it's amazing. It blew me away. So what makes this so cool, too, is that you are put in the position of the photojournalist. Kirsten Dunst plays Lee, she's seen so much, not just with Civil War America, but she's just gone to foreign countries and seen some of the most gruesome, extreme forms of violence, that she just is callous to everything going on around her. We get into a character in a little bit, but that what you saw right there, that's where the money went. Because the rest of the movie is relatively slow compared to what you're probably led to believe with this. Now, whether I think that that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, how do you feel about things? How y'all feel about things here?
Yeah, you're right about this, you know, this big third act, but where they spent all the money and led up to everything. Mm-hmm. It's funny you would bring up Saving Private Ryan, because it's almost a reverse Saving Private Ryan. Because with Saving Private Ryan, you had an opening scene, that invasion of D-Day.
Yeah.
And that's just like, it's mind blowing, that thing you see, and your heart's pumping.
Yeah.
And nothing else in the movie measures up to that.
And well, say, did you think the battle at the end?
Battle at the end is close, but it's not what happens in the beginning. And this is one where this happens at the end, but nothing before it comes even close to this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And see, I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a little bit of both. And because for me, now I know this is been getting rave reviews from people out there, and I'm not even saying that it doesn't live up to those expectations. For some people, it will. I think also for some people, they're going to go in looking at this and thinking that they're going to get pretty much this whole thing where it's an action-fueled Civil War movie set in America. You know, it is a war movie that's you're getting war through the whole thing, and it's not. Like I said, this is not so much about this fictional war that's in the near future than, you know, the American Civil War. Don't be misled. It's not that, okay? This is more about the wartime photojournalists that we see here, and we follow them around. And that's what's so great about that scene, because when you're in scenes like this, like that last act, you're put into the position of being them. And so that's another reason why you feel like you're there. But another thing that's cool with this is that I think that I love the perspective that they took with it, because it makes you question the so-called protagonist over here that we have. You know, I feel like that the protagonists that we have here, they're not good people. You know, I'm not saying that they're evil. I'm not saying that, you know, that they're people that you hate. Not at all. You know, what it is, though, is that, you know, these are people, as I said, you know, they've been so hardened by war that they purposely have had to like just bury their emotions to the point where it's almost gone. They don't even have human compassion anymore. Because if they did have human compassion, then they wouldn't get the shot. Right. You know, they'd be too moved by things. And they sit there and they film people about to die. You know, so, you know, and it's just, and then, but what changes that is that they, once something happens close to them, then all their emotions come out. And I don't know how to feel about that. You know, it feels selfish in a way, but at the same time, I kind of get what they said, job to do this. But there's just something disturbing about that. And it's meant to disturb you. I love that they put that there. So, you know, I love what they did with the characters here as far as, you know, making you just feel all these different things about them. And another thing that I loved about it is that, you know, you do see small bits of compassion coming out. Lee, Kirsten Dunst's character, she has enough compassion to muster up to where she tries to talk to this young girl named Jessie, played by Kaylee Spaney, where she's like, you know, she just sees her being so eager to have the job that she has. In fact, she sees Lee as a hero, and she's just like, you know what? This girl reminds me of me, and I don't want her to end up like me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know I'm a cold motherfucker. You know, I don't give a shit about life anymore. I'm tired. I don't want her to be me. You know, it's from a character point of view, I think it's very good. But, you know, I'm going to pass it on again and see what y'all think about that. Did you like the characters here?
So with her character, I did.
Which
like
one?
Her. The girl you just showed.
The young
girl.
Jessie,
yeah. So at first I really did enjoy her character because it's kind of like we're at the start of her journey and then we're just progressing through. But where her character ended, I was like, man, fuck you. I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna say, oh, fuck you. I don't like that character no more. But that's just how I felt about her. But I get it now. But yeah, I'm saying that ending. I ain't gonna say it, but I don't know how you felt about it.
I, you know what, this is a movie where I go like, man, it's really effective. But I wasn't that crazy about it. And the thing is, I always felt a certain disconnect with it the entire time. And I kept trying to get into it. Mm-hmm. But as far as the Civil War part, I was like, okay, it's being vague on purpose because it's trying to say it's not what's important. But that is such an important thing it's doing. I was like, there's a lot of this that really doesn't hold up to scrutiny when you think about it. And just even on a visceral level, I mean, starting with the Texas and California, you know, joining alliances. And I was like, there's so much you're not telling me here that doesn't make this come together. But hey, okay, maybe it's a character piece and I need to focus on the characters. And I felt the characters were very thin. As much as it was like, hey, this is this person, this, and they're doing this. I was like, yeah, but not really getting to know them. They just seem thin. And so much of what happens with them, felt predictable. And I was like, man, I feel like it's trying to do two things and neither one of them are really solid. It's like it goes in to just below the surface, but not enough for me to really get involved in it. Yeah. It's like this premise seems plausible enough, but the execution for me was lacking.
I feel almost exactly like you do. I like the characters. So I thought the point was not to be able to connect with them, to be disturbed by them, mm-hmm. to be weirded out by
yeah.
them.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I actually love that. Now, my criticism here is that the first half of the movie is just not strong enough for me because it's called Civil War, and I think the trailer kind of sells it as, you know, something like that. And I get it. It's not that. It's about the photojournalists in the beginning. It's the war through their eyes, what we're seeing, and how they have to be, you know, pretty much almost inhuman to experience this. And now they got to experience it on home territory. But we're not, I wish I could have learned a little bit more. Just a little bit more about this. I mean, this shit is called Civil War. It ain't called, you know, the crazy motherfucker with a camera. You know, it's called Civil War. I wish we could have explored that a little bit more. It is not being political, and that's smart. I understand that.
No, I get that.
Though this is something I'm sure is inspired by taking shots at the January 6th insurrection. I'm sure, you know, they're kind of winking at you about that. But my problem with this is with this. I don't mind them not focusing on the war. I wish we could have learned more about it. Or maybe it's because what they did with the stuff with the photojournalists before, you know, during the first half of this movie. I like that we focused on them, but the movie is just mostly what I've seen done before and done better in some other films, and that is just road tripping.
Road tripping.
Road tripping from one cruel situation to the next, you know, because that's, you know, and it sometimes it works out. It's an interesting mix of some other films out there. A lot of times when the movie's at its best, it feels like a combination of Apocalypse Now, Full Metal Jacket, and The Road. Mm-hmm. When is that at its best? It also had that, like I said, it had that creepy dystopian feel to it where, you know, it does look weird when you have people fighting on, you know, in areas that seem familiar to us, things that we've taken for granted. You know, I'm thinking about some of the stuff that happened here that I really thought was crazy, you know, because I know they had one scene where these people were fighting over an office building. And it's funny seeing them fight soldiers while other people are wearing Hawaiian shirts mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it was weird to see that here. And I thought that was pretty cool. But most of the time in that first half, all they're doing is, you know, listen, I've seen this over and over again. And again, I've seen it better. Right now, it just seems pretty typical. We're just going to drive down the road, meet some shitty people, hopefully get out of it. And if we do, we're just going to drive just a little bit more until we meet some more shitty people.
And you know? They seem to not have any effect from the last shitty people they met. Like, no. Okay, well, now we move on to the next thing. And we, watching this, getting somewhat of a sense of how this world is, they get in the situations where they're all shocked by it. I was like, how are you shocked and sad? You didn't have any inkling something like this could happen?
Yeah. Like this scene right here. I like this. They're in the office building. They have combat going on. You know, you saw that your boy in his this Hawaiian shirt
yeah.
running, he just got off vacation and picked that gun up and went right back to work. But, you know, it's just that whole format of we're driving shitty people, dangerous people, disturbing people. We're driving some more shitty people. You know, it seemed predictable
yes.
to me.
Yeah,
that's the only thing right there. You know, so I would just say that I probably enjoyed this more on the acting side of things, you know, because I look at Kirsten Dunst here and I think this is one of her best roles in a long time.
Absolutely.
She is amazing in this movie. Yeah, she's I thought she was brilliant in this film. And the thing that's cool with her is that, like I said, she just has to be this person. And she did this very well. She has to be this person that is just tired. She's not only just rid of emotions, but she's tired. And, you know, and it shows in everything that she's doing. And I thought it was great that, what she did, man. You know, some of the other characters in here.
I'm beginning to like this actor a lot.
What, Pedro Wagner Pascal? Moore?
That ain't no Pedro Pascal. You know,
I know ain't Pedro. He look like him.
You racist son of a
bitch. No, that's not fucking racist.
He don't look like no Pedro Pascal.
Put up a picture.
Like what? Because he's black. He got a mustache. He's only looking at the Mandalorian.
Wow, dude.
Wagner
Moore.
Yeah, he was just, I love this guy. I think I grew to love him just recently. He was in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I loved his character in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I was trying, like, what did I see him in recently?
He's the,
yeah, and the voice of Death in Puss in Boots.
That's right. He was Death in Puss in Boots. He's great here. The reason why I like him so much here is because, surprisingly, this movie has a sense of humor. This movie has some laughs. You know, I will give it credit for that. There's a scene here with some snipers. You see right here, this one looks like a juggalo over here and everything. You know, that scene is tense. But man, there's some great one-liners from these snipers over here. It's some great humor in there, and the movie needs it. So I praise the movie for putting it in and pacing it out at the right time. One of the actors, I wish I had a picture of him, but I'm gonna bring it up right now because this is actually pretty funny. You think this man messed up with Pedro Pascal right here?
Nah, we ain't gotta bring it back.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring this up right here.
We're never letting that go.
No, hell no. What was that actor's name, man? The light skinned dude.
Oh, Stephen Henderson.
Stephen McKinley Henderson. Let me see here. If y'all don't know who Stephen McKinley Henderson is,
he's like an old Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, he's old Martin. Yeah, he's man. This is one of the biggest. Oh shit, he is like you, Martin. Looking dapper and fine like you, man. He's one of the most recognizable character actors out there right now. Yeah. He's in everything. He's just in Dune.
Yeah.
He's
well, he was in the second one.
Oh, he's on some shit or something. but he was. Yeah, he was in Dune.
Did he pass away?
No, he did not. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
I was killing him like Martin kills people. I thought I heard something about him dying. I looked it up today just to make sure. He's still alive. He's still very much alive. He's 74 years old, but he's still alive.
Oh, okay.
But what had me laughing was, so my man came out and he said, damn, man, James L. Jones was pretty good in that movie. I said, boy, now you ain't no guy. James L. Jones. He profiling everybody. I'm like, sitting up here, I'm like, you know, I looked at Dan, I'm like, am I wrong? I'm like, no, I don't like no goddamn James L. Jones over here. He's like, Julian, don't do this, man.
My bad.
I really enjoyed let me see here.
He was in the movie a lot, but he was good when he was in the movie.
No,
he's always good in everything.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed James L. Jones and Pedro Pascal in this movie.
They did great.
They were great. Great job, man.
That's a pick of it.
Man,
great.
Pedro Pascal really is everywhere. both those characters were actually really cool, man. They both gave a lot of humor in here. And
expressed a lot of emotions, too.
Yeah. And I would say, man, this guy, He actually showed a lot more range in this movie than I've seen him do in a long time. He's the butt of a lot of jokes in the movie. They keep calling him old and old dead weight. Look at the backseat of the old folks home. And he actually does something pretty cool.
He
says some badass shit. Yeah. I'm tired of people calling me old. I'll show y'all asses old. Yeah, no, he's very good in the movie, man. I would just say this. You know, watching this movie, man, I enjoyed this more, I believe, on a technical and acting level than I did story level. But I do think that the second half picked up for me. You know, we always say that third act was really good, but I'm going to tell you something. When I'm talking about they just keep running to shitty people and dangerous people, man, there's one scene, a lot of it I was just kind of like, okay, they're just doing this to be disturbing. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole war is hell. People are cruel to each other. You know, when you pull the veil away, we do horrible things to each other. You know, it was that kind of message. And it's like, okay, I get it, whatever. It's not really working for me 100%, but I get what you're doing. It didn't really move me a whole lot. For other people, it will. But I'll tell you this, there's this one scene in here. And let me see. This person is married to Kirsten Dunst. And there's one great scene in here with Jesse Plemons. Jesse Plemons is creepy anyway.
Everything he's in.
Jesse Plemons has been in movies where he's been the hero, and I was still scared of his ass. So. Yeah, and he has this is where the movie kind of turned around for me. He has a really intense scene in here, and I thought that that was excellently directed.
It works so well.
Yeah, yeah. Takes me back to some real horrible moments in war movies where I'm like, Jesus, man. Okay, so. You know, that's bringing me back down to reality when I'm getting into the action and thinking it's all cool and everything. You know, this was a scene right here where it's just kind of like, wow, people really are shitty, man. And Jesse Plemons is great. He's excellent in that role. So, you know, I definitely think that the movie is stronger for me in the second half than in the first half. But I will tell you this, you know, if you're gonna leave a movie, you don't want to leave a movie, you know, on a down note. I left this movie, as I said, on an adrenaline high. You know, from what they did with that attack on the Capitol, and the movies, you know, and I got to give it praise for just doing some things in here, making things disturbing or feeling uneasy that don't even involve people. You know, like I was looking at them like destroying monuments, you know, in Washington. And I was just like, this is something weird about that. You know,
Yeah. What is this, a Godzilla movie?
You've seen it a lot in other movies.
Is it Roland Emmerich?
Well, you've seen it in movies where you've seen it done by aliens or, you know, entertainment disaster movies monsters. You know, when you see it done by, you know, other people in a movie that's supposed to be grounded and realistic. Yeah, that was disturbing images too. So, it's effective. I just wish it had probably centered more on what this war is about, or centered more on what was happening, and not try to take this neutral stance so much. But, you know, I get it. They had to. So for me, it's a high matinee.
I think it took such a neutral stance to the point of being vague, to the point of leaving out a lot of the bottom of what would have made it solid. You're right, that third act with the assault on Washington, that is explosive and it's super loud. It probably the volume got to me more than anything. But because it didn't do the groundwork of really, you know, giving me a feel of what this was all about, I wasn't sure how to feel about it. I had trouble like even attaching myself to the outcome of it. As far as the other part, which is supposed to, I guess it's supposed to mostly be about the character piece with the journalists. I just had so many questions that kept me from really diving in. And one of the things that was throwing me off is the way it approaches journalism and photojournalism. Like, it's all from the perspective of how war journalists are from previous wars, from Vietnam and World War II and back. But now, like, they came in like, hey, we're journalists, we're protected. That's not a thing anymore. It hasn't been a thing for a while. And as far as like, I got to get this photo, most of the photos we see now are done by people with their cell phones who are on the scene. Like, people don't flock to war photography like they used to. So making this something in the present or even the near future, it just kept throwing me off. I was like, all right, are we saying how alternative is this future we're talking about? Because none of this really attaches itself to how we are now. And even down to the, okay, like Wagner Mara, he's not a photographer. He's a reporter, but he's never recording anything. He didn't even have a tape recorder. He's not writing anything down. Even when he gets to the big interview with the president, I was like, you're not actually recording this. So what, you're just going to, like, you might as well just make it up. Why even bother to go there?
That's a good point.
Yeah, it was just so many things where, like, man, I'd like to get into this because I heard so many great things about it. And I can see, and you're right, Corey, I agree with you. Technically, so much of that works, especially that big assault on Washington. But there was so much of, like, what needed to be there, at least for me personally. For me to really be into it, I just kept feeling like I can't sink my teeth into it because you guys haven't done the groundwork. It's like you just tried to stay so far out of it that you didn't make it something solid. But because of the how technically effective it is, I feel like this is more of a low matinee for me.
All right. Okay.
So ever since I was a kid, I actually learned that like photojournalists are actually got these. Like these wars and these places like that. So it was kind of cool to see it on the screen. I'm like, okay, let me see how this goes. And for that first act, like probably the first half, I was kind of getting bored by the movie. I'm like, this is, I see where it wants to go, but it's taking forever to get there. And then you get to that certain point, and I think that's when the movie kind of turns around. It's the same point you were talking about.
What's that?
Yeah. With Jesse Clemens. Yeah. When he comes in, I think the movie completely turns around. And to me, it became one of my favorite movies that I've seen of the year. I'm with you guys, though. Like, some of this stuff is confusing. Because I was watching the movie, and I'm kind of like, why is this going on? I don't think they're explaining it the best. But all right, I'm going to go with it, I guess. So I think that's the biggest problem I was having with the movie. But what stood out the most to me was the characters and how well I felt like they were done and how invested I was into the characters. Also, the action was really, really done well, especially for an A24 film.
I thought it was one of their most expensive films, I think.
Had to be. I think the budget was like $50 million for this one. So the action was really done well. And like you said earlier, man, what really drew me in the most was the sound. Like, it's been a minute since I've seen a movie that goddamn loud. And it worked, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm probably going to give this probably a full price. But it does have a lot of problems that came with it. But I still enjoyed it.
No, I enjoyed it, too. If I had to, because giving it a matinee makes people think that I'm not recommending it or being down on it. I give it a high matinee. I think it is one of the most powerful films of the year. I'd recommend people see it.
See it in IMAX. If you don't see it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just didn't. It was a little predictable for me with the parts I was telling you about, with the parts with the horrible people doing horrible things. But that's probably because I see a lot of movies. It might work for some other people out there. You know, and if they did take a stance on being political with anything, then people would be all over this movie. So they'd had no choice but to be, you know, apolitical with this. But yeah, I think I would recommend this to people, man. If I was to sum it up, I think it's a great war film with a unique twist that they really don't take advantage of. You know, I thought they could do a little bit more with it, but I really did like it. Definitely, like I said, I just like the second half much mm-hmm. more than the first half. So,
and I wonder how this movie's going to work with this coming out during an election year and all.
I don't think that. I don't. It's so.
But yeah, it's so neutral, though. Yes.
Fox can't come in and say shit. You know, CNN can't come in and use it against somebody. It's like it's
too neutral. You can't.
No, you can't do anything with it. I mean, Fox was ready, too. Fox was like, yeah, fuck.
Shit. Oh, they'll find an angle.
Yeah, they'll find something. Well, you made it to the end of the video. That must mean you really like what we do. So if you do, check out these other videos just like this one. Check out our other YouTube channels and subscribe to join our wonderful Toasty community. And as always, stay toasty.